Mother's Day and Father's Day and 4th of July, you take a vacation. School starts early in August in most of the counties around here this next year, and then September hits, and then the holidays are here, and just like 2019 got here, and it's just going to be over, and you're like, what happened to this year? Here's the question I have for you, individually, as a family, and as a church. What is it that you are going to leave behind in 2019? Who is it that you can develop? Who is it that you can pour into, that you can challenge, that you can comfort, that you can equip in 2019? Even when it comes to our budget, our finances. What are you going to do with your finances? If you don't organize them and think, okay, here's these bills and this is the money I have left over, or you organize it and you look at your budget like, man, there's no way I can do all these things, right? And you figure out, I probably shouldn't be going out to eat as much as I did, or I can't afford this or that, right? I got to make some changes. It's all about prioritizing. So you start with the end in mind in life. And we must make wise decisions on a daily basis. Our church is called Choice Baptist, taken from Joshua 24. Choose you this day. The reality is you've got to choose every day. You made a decision. This morning you came to church and you said, I'm going to church this morning. Well, the reality is tomorrow morning you got to wake up and you've got to decide what kind of attitude you're going to have. You got to decide, am I going to read my Bible? Am I going to spend time in prayer? Am I going to treat my family right? Am I going to do what I want, or am I going to serve other people, right? It's a daily decision you have to make. You're driving to work and you get frustrated in traffic, or things don't go well, or you're waiting in line to get lunch and you're trying to get back to the office, and all these things can come your way and you've just got to make a choice. How am I going to respond? How do I deal with circumstances? How do I deal with difficulties? How do I deal with blessings? It's the little things that we do in life. Choose you this day. So Paul was talking to this guy, Timothy. He assumed that he was at the end of his life. He didn't know how much longer he had, so he wrote this letter. 1st and 2nd Timothy are great letters. The pastoral epistles includes the book of Titus as well. Paul is writing to these pastors in these three letters, so they're very personal. Paul is pouring his life into them, saying, you're the pastor, and as a pastor, I want you to pour your life into others. And here's what he says in 2 Timothy 2:2. Here's a verse I really hope you'll get. In the bulletin today, there's a little insert. I hope you can put it on a refrigerator or put it somewhere. And it just says, leaving a legacy. What are you leaving behind? And I think it even has the verse 2 Timothy 2:2. And so let's look at what this verse has to say. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We see four groups of people in this verse. Paul is talking to Timothy. Remember, Paul's writing it, and he's writing it to Timothy, and he said, and the things that thou, talking about Timothy, that you have heard from me. So first we have Paul over here. Paul, as an apostle, had got his message from God and this revelation. He wrote many of the books in the New Testament. And so Paul said, and the things that thou hast heard of me. So Paul had this message among many witnesses. He is teaching to Timothy. So Timothy is the second part of that group. And then if you notice it, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou, Timothy, I have entrusted these things to you. Now I want you to commit them to someone else. The doctrines, the teachings, the scriptural understanding that I've poured into your life, I want you to give to the third group. And who's the third group there? And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to who? Well, faithful men, right? It's the same commit thou to faithful men. Not just people in general, but people that are going to be trustworthy. They're going to take this message. They're going to guard the truth. They're going to take the scriptures. See, the reason we have the Bible today is because throughout history, under great persecution, there were people that guarded the truth. They weren't going to back down. They weren't going to follow the false teachings. They took a strong stand that Jesus was the only way to heaven and that His Word was the only way that we could have understanding for life. And so these faithful men took it from Paul to, who did Paul give it to? Timothy. And Timothy gave it to? Faithful men who shall be able to teach others. See, there's the next generation. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul thinks he's going to die, and he says, Timothy, I want you to take the legacy. I'm not going to be around here much longer. I want you to take it and give it to faithful people. And I want you to, these faithful people, to be able to take it to the next generation. And so they can have it to the next generation. That's why in 2019, Choice Baptist Church has this book, because that's what's been going on. People have developed others for 2,000 years, and we have this message. Even though they've dealt with persecution, going to jail, they've gone through deep trials. People have gone without food and without necessities because they've guarded these truths. And they said it's important for us to have the Word of God and to pass it on to our children, to pass it on to our grandchildren, to pass it on to the people that are no longer around us. I just began thinking about that, and as the teen service went out, we saw, I don't know, 40 or 50 young people going out. But we've been doing that for years, and we had children grow up in our church, and we saw people singing on the stage that, you know, were in the nursery and the preschool, and they went through the Awana and children's church programs, and serving in the teen ministry and getting involved in Upward Basketball and all these different areas that they're involved in. And now we have all these young adults that are involved in our church and even outside of our church. There are ministries that go on, like Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where we have people, young people from our church that go into schools. A Young Life is a ministry that we've had a number of young people serving in that grew up in our church, and they're involved in colleges and high schools, and they're sharing the gospel with people all around. We have Teen Challenge. There's a girl that grew up in our church who went through a difficult time and got back on track, and now she's helping people that struggle with drugs and doing that full time. We have somebody in New York City, people going on mission trips, people serving in other churches. See, I'm just excited that we have people that are taking the message to the next generation. And we can't say everybody's caught it. Not everybody has moved along in their faith, but I'm so proud of those young people that have grown up in our church. And how did it happen? Most of the time, it wasn't one big event that changed their life, but it was things little by little. You as parents just trying to pour your life into them, having the right kind of attitude at home. Maybe you're sharing a scripture of what God's doing in your life. You're trying to walk the Christian life. You bring them to church. You bring them to Awana. You bring them to activities. You put them around the right kind of influences. And now they're serving in our church. They're starting to be leaders in our church, and you'll see even more of that in the next couple of weeks. They're raising our grandchildren. They're serving in the military. They're running our government. They're managing business, starting businesses. And I look at that, and I'm 53 now. And so I look at these little kids. And the other day, Paul and I were talking, and we were reminded that I started this church when I was 26 and she was 20. I mean, we were the little kids. And I was the pastor of the church. And people came, you know, and they listened to me, and they followed my lead. And I'm preaching on the family. I have no kids, and, you know, they're listening and stuff. And you know, our church began growing, and I began growing. And you know, and so we look at these young people, and they're at the point where 26 years ago, where Paul and I were when we started the church, the pastor and the pastor's wife. And now we see them leading ministries at our church. And the reality is, we, as the more mature, should be equipping them and giving them opportunities and helping them in process as well. They are to be the leaders. Our teens, when they went out, they have a theme. I don't know if we have the picture of Category 5 or not. They're called Category 5, our teens. And their theme verse is Psalm 24:6. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. This is the generation. You see, it's their generation that's got to move ahead. It's them that takes the message from Paul to Timothy to the faithful to others. That's what God intends for us to do. But there's a weakness that we have sometimes, and at least I have. I can get so busy doing the ministry that I don't take time to develop people for ministry. We can be very individualistic. Have you ever said something like this? If you want it done right, what's the rest? Do it yourself, right? Do it yourself. Now, we're probably not that good that what we do is right. You know, we're probably maybe a little too high thinking of ourselves. But if you want it done right, the reality is develop somebody else. That's what God wants. That's why we tell our leaders, bring an assistant along beside you. Because one day you're going to be gone. I read this a couple years ago. Every pastor is an interim pastor. An interim pastor is one that kind of comes in part-time. You know, a pastor leaves and they're getting ready to get a new pastor. And by the way, thanks for praying for Pastor Jeff. Things are moving ahead and Lafayette. And they have some information that over the next couple weeks, next Sunday, he's going to be preaching at the Open Door Church. And so just be in prayer for God to give him guidance as he's moving into that ministry as well. Does anyone know where I was in the message? I kind of lost track here. But leaving a legacy is important. Us moving ahead, seeing what God's going to do. So I have something to me that is very exciting. I think I'm pretty comfortable knowing what my strengths are. I have plenty of weaknesses. If you hang around me enough, you'll see it. And if you want to know them, I can tell them to you just on the front side so you'll know as well. But I have plenty of weaknesses. I have several strengths, I think, and I try to focus on those. But I am glad that we're able to bring people that have strengths around our church ministry that can help us. Certainly all the pastors have done a great job. And somebody handed me a card to Matt gave me a card for Pastor Dunn. He was one of the pastors that have been here many years, just recently diagnosed with a very serious illness, and he gave me a card, and he said, if people want to sign this card after the service, we'll get it sent to him. And we've had wonderful pastors that have been around here, and we have a new pastor, Pastor Ryan, and his wife Karen, and so I've asked him to come, and we're just going to talk for about 5 minutes or so. And so as he comes up here, let's give him a hand. I'm excited about him stepping forward. Let's I'll join you over here on this side, all right? Guess we can have a seat. Can you see us on this side if we sit down? All right. Ryan, just tell me about your age, something about your family real quick.
Well, I'm I can flip it on. I don't know if that's an appropriate question to ask someone in front of the crowd.
And your weight, too. So, yeah, we get that, too. Yeah, so.
I'm midlife.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think I'm told a few years ago I started my midlife crisis a little bit early. And I was telling our church at Flat Run this in transition that really I was at a reflection point, probably maybe a little younger for me in my mid-30s at that point a couple years ago, thinking about what's next. I kind of, if the guys use sports analogy all the time, I think about halftime. And I felt like, hey, my second quarter is over. I'm going to halftime, reflecting. What's the game plan moving forward? But as I thought about it a little further, I thought maybe I'm in the wrong sport. Maybe it's hockey, which I'm a big fan of hockey. And I was thinking maybe this is like second intermission. If you know that, you've got a third left. one more period left, and then someone else said, you never know, you might be in sudden death overtime. So I don't know, but it got me thinking, how do I prepare for what's next? Be intentional. I'm 39, by the way.
Okay.
My wife is much younger than I am. She's
okay, all right. Yeah, tell us about your wife and kids.
My wife, Karen's here. If you just want to stand for a second.
Thank you, Karen. All right.
She's much younger than me. My daughter Summer went out with the team. She's 13. And we've got two boys, RJ and Drew. RJ's 11 and Drew is 7. And they're hanging out in a kids' church with us today.
And what I like about Karen, she's doing beach body workouts, so all right, yeah, we try to do those to stay in shape, and I got a new year, so if you're thinking about staying in shape, there's some great people around here eating right and those kind of things, but yeah, awesome, and how are you doing with that? No, we won't even go there. All right, so no, we won't. So you were at Flat Run, and you're transitioning. Tell us just about that transition, what God's doing in your life with the Jumpstart.
Yes, we were at Flat Run Church for 14 years. We helped restart the church. It was a small rural church, and the Lord just blessed and was able to grow.
Small church, there were two people, right?
Yeah,
so it was
three people.
Three.
Were there when we came to the church, and the Lord just blessed. The church grew, people grew. And we were able to develop ministries. And I've always sensed that my passion and ability is I'm not a manager. I'm very entrepreneur-type mindset. I like launching, I like starting. I like developing, implementing. But then it just got to a point where I felt restless. And so a few years ago, maybe part of my midlife crisis, I started a business, one of those things on my bucket list. And that kind of took off a little further than I expected. But intentional, I started the business not just for a business itch, but I also wanted to use it for ministry. I caught a glimpse of the vision of an evangelist who came through the area who was doing events for reaching teens and children and churches, community. And so I've had that in the back of my mind for a few years. And this past fall, we announced to our church our desire to launch a new ministry. It's an evangelistic ministry called Jumpstart Ministries, where we're really just partnering with churches to reach the community and their children for Christ. And we're organizing and helping them host events and just really giving some coaching. It's a lot of it's strategy, and some of it we'll be implementing. But just brainstorming with churches. We're so focused, sometimes churches focus on inward. You know, how do we minister to people in the church? Sometimes we can lose track of the Great Commission, thinking outward. How do we reach our community? How do we reach families? How do we reach children? And so that's a big part of our focus in Jumpstart Ministries is launching this year, 2019. So that put us in a moment of transition. We decided to step away from the church leadership just because we thought it was too much to lead a church and launch a new ministry. We were leading the church full-time, and we removed ourselves from the church. We went through a transition process there. You can pray for them. They have a very important interview tomorrow with their top candidate. We've got 10 people on the search committee, and this is the one person. It's a miracle, right? All 10 people, they're really high on this one individual, so we're praying it's the Lord's will. That's tomorrow. But we felt as a part of that process, being there for 14 years, we really felt we needed to remove ourselves from the church to free ourselves up to minister to other churches, but also to allow the new leadership to come in and be able to cast vision and give direction. And so a part of that led us to look for a church home. And that's part of the reason why we're here, is looking for a home for our family just to grow and be ministered to and a place to serve.
Well, awesome. Well, it's great having you. And he'll share more about that story and how you've develop the leaders there. As we think of leaving a legacy around here, we've given you the title Development Pastor. Can you just kind of share what your vision is for that and how we can move ahead in that 2 Timothy 2:2 process from Paul to Timothy to the faithful to the others? You have anything you'd share there?
Yeah, I love the theme this year, leaving a legacy. I think it ties in with our church theme, which is impacting lives. If we are to really leave a legacy, it's going to take impact in lives. I think the big thing, what you said in the message earlier, is that we have to be intentional. Sometimes you just think, well, people kind of see how I live, and they'll catch that organically. And some people do. But it's kind of like saving an investment. The Bible says a righteous man leaves an inheritance to generations that follow him. And you think about it in spiritual terms, in savings, so you have to be intentional. You have to be intentionally putting stuff away. I'm going to determine I'm going to save this amount every paycheck, every month. If you're going to prepare to leave on an inheritance or have some retirement, and you think spiritually, I think the challenge is we want to be intentional about what we're passing on. And I think that's 2 Timothy 2:2, is there's this intentional process where I take what I believe, I take my faith, I take my values, and I want to pass them on to someone else. And sometimes we do that, but we're not so intentional because it's like you said earlier, if you don't write it down, does it really get done? And for me, I have to say, have I written it down, or do I remember where I put that piece of paper?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that's
right.
It's lost on my desk somewhere. So I think you have to be really intentional. You have to say, I'm going to pass this on. I think we do that sometimes in the church. We show others what we're doing. But here's kind of the big disconnect, is we don't follow through all the way with 2 Timothy 2:2, and we don't take what we believe and what we know and share it with someone else and then train them and say, do the same. find others. How do we prepare other people to take what we're giving them and share with them? It's a whole other process of development. And what scares me is a pastor friend, and you know this pastor. He was a church planner in Canada, and he came across a family of descendants of Charles Spurgeon, heard of Charles Spurgeon. And he came across his family, and their lives were just completely broken. This is just a few generations removed from Spurgeon's family. The prince of preachers, one of the most famous preachers of his era. And the family was broken in drunkenness. Their families were just shattered. And it just broke his heart to think that here a few generations from a pastor's family like this, that they're living this way. And then he kind of interpreted this inwardly. So what are we doing to prepare? So it's one thing to pass this on, but does it stop? Does it stop right there? How do we develop people to develop other people? And I think that's the key. To have a legacy, it's something that keeps on going.
Well, great. So we're going to be talking about developing ourselves, developing our ministries, developing leaders, developing our church. And so that's where we're headed this year. We're going to talk about how we're going about doing that. So I am so excited to have the Flanders. They're on staff part-time here while their business is growing. Jumpstart's continuing to grow. And so we're so glad that they're here. They both have many gifts to offer, and they're kids and kids church are in the teens. They've all been saved and baptized. So I'd like to welcome them into the membership of the church here as well. And if you agree, let's give them a hearty amen. Okay. All right. Great. Thanks. Great. Anything else? Yeah.
I just say thank you for the warm reception. We feel loved here and we feel blessed to minister to. We're looking forward to serving under your leadership in any way we can, but especially excited about the vision this year, leaving a legacy.
Why don't you pray for just this year as we leave a legacy here, all right?
Father, we thank you for just your grace and your love and your kindness, Lord. We thank you for the gospel that was entrusted to these disciples in 2 Timothy 2:2, and that they took that to heart, that they received it, and they didn't let it sit with them. They passed on their faith. They passed on the good news. They passed on and discipled others. And Lord, help us to follow in those footsteps. And Lord, to do that, we need to be intentional. We can't leave things to chance. We need to prioritize and take inventory. Lord, what is it that we want to pass on to our children? What is it as a church we want to pass on to those around us, those in the body, those in the community? And Lord, help us to write those things down and commit to those things. And Lord, I believe church is a part of that picture. We need to commit ourselves to being with your people where we can be discipled. And Lord, we need to commit ourselves to service where we can pass on those deeds of good works and those deeds of being intentional about passing on and teaching others those things that we believe, those things that we trust to be true. And Father, we believe that if we do that, if we prioritize that, be intentional, we can have a legacy that's left behind that impacts lives for your glory. Well, that's our prayer. So this year, Lord, help us to make some commitments with our time and with our stewardship and with our relationships that truly will impact others so the legacy is left behind. Lord, we ask for your grace and for your wisdom and just the wherewithal to commit ourselves to these things. Because, Lord, sometimes those things right before us get all of our attention. Those things that are in this day consume us. But Lord, help us to have some vision and think a little bit forward, realizing that to have the vision that we want for the future, we've got to do some things today to prepare for it. So Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, great. Just a couple things as we wrap it up. But we're so excited for you, Ryan and Karen, and welcome to the Choice family here. It's exciting. Hopefully in your seat, there's a card right in front of you. I want you to go ahead and grab that. We have something called a ministry fair, something we do every year, and that's coming up on February 10th. If you would like to learn, like, how can I leave a legacy? How can I get involved, make an impact in the lives of others? This is a great first step. And so if you have a ministry you're active in, you're going to continue in that, this is not for you. But if you are thinking, you know what, there's an area I'd like to get involved in, go ahead and fill that out. When the offering plate passes in a little bit, we're going to focus on that as well. But I hope that's, you know, something that you'll really take a look at. And I just want to conclude, and Jeremy, do you have the PowerPoint background with the acorn? I just want to show that as we wrap it up. So it's a little hard to see on that screen. Maybe you can see it, but there is an acorn. And you just see a little stem. Now, what's going to happen if that acorn keeps growing and growing? What does it become? Yeah, it becomes a mighty oak, doesn't it? The potential in that little tiny seed, when it is nurtured correctly, becomes a mighty oak tree. That's what every single person is. And if we can just view people with that potential, and we pour into the lives of our kids, our grandkids, we pour into the lives of the people that are around us, we pour into the life of that difficult person, even at work or wherever it might be, every person has incredible value. And so as we think of the sanctity of life today, let's value all of life and realize that from the most innocent of babies to the most senior of adults, every one of us are valuable because God made us valuable. Here's how valuable we are to God. Jesus died on the cross that our sins could be forgiven. That's an overwhelming thought. As John Newton called it, amazing grace. Jesus died that our sins could be forgiven. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, may today be that day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon this time. May your will be done in our lives. Thank you for the opportunities we have to minister to others. Lord, I pray that we would just truly sense how you're working in our life, how we can make an impact in the lives of others, how we can influence others for good. Lord, may you put on many hearts for them to come to the ministry fair on February 10th. May you challenge us to take time and pour into our families, to write those notes of appreciation of those that have done things in our life. Lord, we thank you for our student pastor, Pastor Fletcher, and the work you're doing in Pastor Dean's life and through that ministry there with Christia. Lord, thank you for those that are serving in Awana and Upwards and Children's Church and pouring into the lives of our kids. Thank you for our nursery workers and our preschoolers that share your love to those that are ready to be trained and developed. May we see others with great potential. And friend, as the music plays here, some of you came to the altar earlier. We've talked about a lot of issues this morning. Maybe you want to come and just pray for your family with our heads bowed and just in your seat if you want to come, or just want to pray in your seat. God, would you strengthen my family? Would you strengthen my kids? Maybe you have a child that's struggling. You just pray for them right now. Maybe there's a relationship that you know is not moving in the direction that God would have. Just pray. Or you think of that person that's hurting. As we sang that song, "Oh My Soul," we're not alone. Jesus is there. May we be there in the lives of others as well. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray that this would be a year where we leave a legacy, that we pour into the lives of others around us. Lord, may we not buy into it just has to be these great things, a great vacation, a big house, anything on a large level, but just doing the little things day to day. May it be the smiles, may it be the gracious tongue, may it be our attitude, the habits we set, the way we have our quiet times before you, the way we serve in ministry, the way we lead and pour into the lives of others, taking time. Lord, leave a legacy through our life. May we pour into the faithful ones who teach others also. And those that are just struggling here today, please do a work in their life as well. Strengthen them. Place people around them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.